Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all week? Oh, we had a fantastic time over here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph as we started off the week shaking the Monday morning blues with the Burns. Yes, Pastor J.O. and Nicole Burns opened up our relationship clinic after months of being on hiatus. Yes, and we talked about external threat. Yes. Oh, my goodness. They did a fantastic job as they talked about the different things that come from the outside and really pose a real danger to your relationship. And initially, finances was at the top of that conversation. Yes, Pastor Burns brought up that finance thing. You know how it is. You got to learn how to spend that money properly. You can't be doing all that shopping willy-nilly style and possibly throwing a family's finances into a tizzy. We also talked about that television and those cell phones. Yes, you know how we get down. We trying to keep up with the Joneses. We're following what's going on the TV. And that phone that we just can't even take out of our hand because that social media is so important to us. And we talked about the big one that we've talked about previously on church folks. The church. Yes. Oh, Pastor Burns had his own testimony when it came to this church thing. And it was really, really insane. Fantastic conversation that we had with them. It brought up so many really vital and important things, and we were so happy to have them on with us. Well, we could not finish Monday morning properly if we didn't get that switch tip with John T and stop keeping the problem alive. Fantastic word that came from Chantis on Monday morning. And it, as always, it kind of jives with the conversation, the external threat topic. You know, if you see that there's an issue, whether it's in your life, whether it's in your marriage, your relationship, on the job, listen, it's up to you to shut that thing down. And the best part about it is, as long as you're serving God and it's not right, He's going to always show you how to turn it off. You know, for you to stop keeping the problem alive, a lot of that has to do with you. Yes, if it's a problem, why would you want to keep it alive? You know, it has to fade. And sometimes what I've seen is, you know, we've got to keep the problem going or the situation going until we deem it's time to shut it down, when a lot of times God has already said, please shut that off. Or here's the other one, where he has started to shut it down himself, and we, that thing's just a go. Yes. So stop keeping that problem alive with a fantastic word that we got on Monday morning that definitely kept us during the week. And I really hope you made that applicable to your personal life, because it is so, so, so important to make sure we shut things down when we need to. Okay? All right. Well, let's talk about a Tuesday Church Folk Day rolled around. And this week, we got our My Two Cents going. Yes, that's our TV and film review that we do here on Z-Time with Pastor Steph. And we started that bad boy this week with Kingdom Business. Yes, that's BET Plus series. And oh, wow, is that one a doozy? Yes, you know, it's based on the behind-the-scenes look into the world of the gospel music industry and all of the conflict and secrets that come with money, fame, and success. And it is a pole to the pulpit story. And, you know, we called out some of the important pieces of that, episode. Yes, of that episode. And one of the things we talked about was the honesty. The honesty of these offerings. And, you know, are we really taking up the offerings and allocating them to the places we say we're allocating them to? Oh, boy. Oh, boy, the church can really be faulted for that one. As well as, you know, we talked about those testimonies. You know, it's funny because last week we talked about sharing our testimony. So it's interesting that this week, you know, the fact of us really telling that testimony the way it needs to be told so that we can get that light, you know, drawn to Christ the way, you know, God has wanted to do through us. Yes, yes, you know how that goes. You know, I tell that story. And, you know, triggering those weaknesses. You know, sometimes we do things, watch things, see things, or stay in the mouth of things that really don't benefit us. You know, we really need to get away from these things, and we don't. We don't make the smart moves to shut them down, stop keeping the problem alive. So we really had a wonderful, wonderful conversation, and it kind of gave us our segue as we planned to do into our church folk topic. So that's what it is. Those are the things we talked about in the church folk topic. And it got launched from the My Two Cents review. Yeah. So that's the plan going forward. And, you know, it was, you know, received very well. You know, kind of asked around and found out, you know, how do people like us? How like it this segment, and they really did. They really did. And one of the highlights for, you know, a few people was the fact that it really went into the church folk segment. They liked the meshing of it too. So it was a win. Thank God. See what happens when you follow the Lord? All right. Well, it was wow before we turned around. And we started off with our girlfriend, Vivian. And we had to hear about some good stuff, and we heard about some bad stuff. Well, one of the things we did hear about was this national gun control in New York and how they're going to take you through some additional steps in order to get your gun license. Well, one good thing is that it will not be instantaneous, which who ever thought of that? Can you imagine getting a gun in a matter of 10 minutes? Well, see how that went. I don't know who thought that was going to be a great idea, but nonetheless, you're going to now have to, you know, go through some, hey, I just remembered. You're going to have to go through, like, some therapy thing, some counseling. Yeah, I just realized that. Well, you're going to have to also go through some interviews and give out some, what do you call that thing? Oh, character references. Yes. Can you imagine? Yeah. You have to give out some character references. Well, I really would like to know how that's going to go down because, you know, who you going to get to say that you should have a good look at this? But, you know, hey, you know, don't, you know, I'm not smashing the process. You know, so hopefully and prayerfully it'll be something that'll be a good deterrent from the gun getting into the wrong hands. And I'm still trying to figure out why you need a gun first. But nonetheless, the ladies were in the house, and oh, they did a fantastic job as always. And this week we talked about submission and what submission is not. And one of the things that we talked about was submission is not putting the will of your husband before the will of Christ. And, you know, the ladies did a fine job with breaking down these points because, you know, it was interesting to take it from the opposite way. We're always, you know, we always have man telling us what submission is. And we really talked about the fact that you really don't put the will of your husband before the will of Christ out there first. Yeah. Get it together. Figure it out. And, you know, don't let anybody pressure you into, you know, putting them or it before God. Yeah, because that's pretty much what's going down, you know, and before you know it, things are all twisted and, you know, you've lost sight of what true submission really is. And, you know, everybody got some business submission submitting. And, we don't have this all mixed up anymore, hopefully. After the ladies left, we were blessed to close down our Wednesday with the Faith Over Fear segment, where our pastor, Charlotte, was pretty transparent. She can't let you know that, oh, she had some problems getting started in this submission thing. And hopefully, by the time all the ladies finish talking, you understood what the deal was regarding submission. Well, yesterday was Therapeutic Thursday, and we talked about signs of being born again. You know, we really got to make sure we don't look like anybody else. We really got to make sure that when people look at us, they see us and they see Christ. And we don't even have to open up our mouth and tell anyone that I'm saved. Yes. So you need to stop living in sin. You know, just like it was said, you know, everybody's going to have that, you know, time when something is going to happen and, you know, we do something that God would consider a sin, but it is definitely not your lifestyle. You know, and I definitely want to get that across, that, you know, that's why I don't like, you know, that a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got back up. No, that's a lifestyle. And we're not talking about that anymore. We're not talking about having those occasional, you know, slips and, you know, going back to the Lord and, you know, confessing and repenting and, you know, getting back up and wiping yourself off and moving forward. I'm not a sinner. Although I might do some simple things, I'm not a sinner, so I'm sorry. I do not subscribe to that, and we have to make sure that, you know, we don't live in sin. Not when we're supposed to be a born-again Christian, you know, and, excuse me, you know, that change of heart makes a difference. You know, Brother Al talked about, you know, his personal experience with his tenant and how the tenant, you know, really had a dilemma going on, not a dilemma, but a situation going on in his life with his son. And, you know, he had to put, Brother Al had to put, you know, what his issue and concerns were on the side in order to witness to this individual. And that's really a change of heart, because a lot of times we're so busy caught up in what we need that we don't put our needs to the side and let God take care of it so that we can help take care of man. So we're so glad that we had that open testimony yesterday about, you know, what a change of heart looks like. So hopefully, you know, everybody learns, and you could put your situation in that space and declare that God has, you know, helped you have a change of heart, and you don't look the way you used to look when you were in your former life. Okay? Well, today is Freestyle Friday. Oh, I'm so happy because the week has come to an end and I can sleep 5 extra minutes. And, oh, God has been so good. And, you know, we hear from the men today. And I am so happy that we have an opportunity to hear straight from the men and they can help to usher us into a fantastic weekend. So we want to make sure you go and get that quick break. Go get the healthy breakfast. Come on, come on, come on. You know how we do. And make sure you tell somebody that it's the time when Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
Because of you, I found the resources I needed.
Because of you, I found the right doctor.
Because of you, I'm not alone.
These are words we cherish at the Sarcoma Alliance. Each year, thousands of Americans of all ages are diagnosed with sarcoma, the rare 1% of all cancers. The Sarcoma Alliance is there during their difficult journey, providing education, guidance, and connection. Learn more at sarcomaalliance.org. Sponsored by the Sarcoma Alliance.
Well, good morning, good morning, and good morning to you. Welcome back, or welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and it is Freestyle Friday. Oh, it is the end of the week, the work week, you know, the school week for those who have a class, and we're so grateful to God that he has ushered us into a week and out of the week safely. You know, everybody didn't make it safely, but God is great, and we are so grateful to God for all that he continues to do, and we got to let people know how grateful we are. And that we have to let God know that we know that this ain't no easy thing. You know? Getting through, not easy. Only by his grace and mercy that it even gets done. We have no control over what happens in our day-to-day living. So, let's give God thanks. And, let's get to talking. So, you know, looks like everything I pulled up yesterday had one focus. So I kind of went along with it. I was like, why fight it? Why fight it? Why, you know, if this is all that's being put in your face, I don't have a problem going with this stuff. And the first well, not the first, but one of the first articles, news stories that I came up with is Uber. And it said Uber was sued by more than 500 female passengers over sexual assault. Yes. Now you got 500 women in multiple states who say that they were attacked while utilizing, you know, this company's services, and that Uber was not real accurate and adequate when it came to the safety measures put into place to protect, you know, the passengers. So there's a class action lawsuit which says that the plaintiffs claimed that they were kidnapped, sexually assaulted, sexually battered, raped, falsely imprisoned, stalked, harassed, or otherwise attacked by Uber drivers with whom they were paired with through the Uber app. Now, the firm noted that the filing comes a month after Uber released its safety, its latest safety report. Excuse me. Now, check this out. The company disclosed that it received more than 3,800 complaints of sexual assaults on Uber rides in 2019 and 2020. So, I don't know how you want to look at this thing. Now, whether you want to look at it as 2 years or 1 year, because from 19 to 20 is 1 year, but if you say all of 19 and all of 20, it can be 2 years. So however you looked at it, even if it was 2 years, I wanted to do the math on this thing, so y'all gonna have to give me a minute. Let me, because I want to see the average of this thing here. So let's say this was in over a 24-month period. So you got 3,800 divided by 24. That's 158.33. So that's an average of 160 complaints a month. What kind of mess is that? What kind of mess is that? So it was like these Uber drivers were going buck wild. So if you managed to ride in an Uber during 2019 and 2020, and you weren't a part of this 3,800 complaints, then look at how, didn't I just get finished saying God is looking out for us? Yeah. So they say that Uber's whole business, which they don't have to tell us this, that the whole business model is predicated on giving people a safe ride home. Because that was the whole thing with them coming up with this option of, you know, having an app to help you get home, and we're not out there as females flagging down a cab, you know, whether it be late at night or in the middle of the day. So that was the whole, you know, one of the whole premises is that, you know what, you're safe. We know who you're riding with. You don't have to worry about riding. You know, of course it's a stranger, but it's a different stranger because there's a track and a trail, you know, to who you were riding with. And this sexual assault thing, you know, is really, it's really taken, you know, a bad, I mean, it has gone from bad to worse. Because everything you read about is sexual assault. And that's what I was telling you. When I opened up the news, that's all I kept saying. But unfortunately, Uber was up there. And they're really going to have to pay the price for their negligence, because they're saying that they didn't, you know, do more background checks on these guys. And, you know, they are going to have to turn it up now. They need to add cameras to deter these assaults. And, You know, they need to create a better warning system when drivers don't stay on a path to a destination. Now, here's the thing. You know, for those of you who have ever ridden in an Uber or a cab, you know, these days it's not just a regular cab. And even, I would like to see even for a regular cab, you know, a lot of, okay, so let's talk about this thing. One of the problems is the drivers, you know, okay, let's go back, because it seems like I'm doing, but I want to follow some kind of path here to help you understand where I'm going with this. Okay, so we were talking about the old school where the drive, you would flag down a cab, whether it was a yellow cab, whether it was what we used to call a gypsy cab. Yeah, I know I'm dating myself because probably a millennial probably couldn't even tell you what a gypsy cab is or was, and definitely not one of these Gen Z. They have no idea what a gypsy cab is. Well, a gypsy cab was a cab that would look like a regular car. It was a person driving a regular car, and it was, you know, the fact that they just drove and they took you where you needed to go. It didn't look like a yellow cab. It was a yellow cab. Well, the whole thing about being in a yellow cab back in the day or a gypsy cab was those were people from the hood. Those were people from New York. So wherever you needed to go, they pretty much knew where you needed to go. And if they needed a little assistance, you gave them the little assistance. You know, okay, if they didn't know, like, your block, because your block was maybe all of two blocks long, and, you know, you needed some help, so they could get you, like, from one of the main places that they knew to get you to, the closest intersection, maybe, and then you would just tell them, you know, okay, go up here, make a left, make a right, you know, take this quick left, and then that's my block. That's the way it used to be. Now, because everybody and their mama is driving a car, whether it be Uber, Lyft, whether it be, you know, accessorize, whether it be a cab company, because everybody and their mama are driving, you don't know, they don't know where they're going. And I'm talking about the main places. I'm talking about the 42nd and 6th. They got to put on a GPS. They got to put on Google Maps. They got to put on, I think it's Wise or something like that, or whatever the app is that they use it to help get around. And not only that, have they come to lean on the GPS to get them there, but now everybody needs to know the quicker route, the quickest route. So it would reroute you, you know, when you use the apps, or the map apps, it will reroute you and give you the quickest, you know, method of getting to your destination. So a lot of times you get in these Ubers or the accessorize or whatever, and it's like they automatically putting on the thing. I'm like, you don't know where you're going? That's the first thing that annoys me. I don't know for the rest of y'all. That's the first thing that annoys me. I'm like, oh, here we go with the GPS. Why? Because that means that the whole time you riding, they looking between the road and the app, the phone and the app. And I'm like, yo, you can't keep taking your eyes off the road. You don't know where you're going. So that's the first problem we have. So the reason why I brought that up was because they're talking about a safety measure of, like, helping them to, they say, creating a warning system when drivers don't stay on a path to a destination. Well, you can't. Because as soon as you find a better route or the GPS gives you a different route, what's going to happen? The alarm going to be going off? So, I don't know what they're going to do about that one. But because everybody and their mama's driving and they don't know where they're going, I don't know how that one's going to work. So, I just think they need to definitely, you know, get a little more stringent with doing these background checks, putting these cameras in the cars. And also, they said that there's a 911 type of button within their app that sets off, you know, an alarm when, you know, that you could press if you feel something, you know, going off, or if something does go off. And unfortunately, you know, for those who may be a little bit scary, you know, what's going to happen when every time they feel that, you know, something is going wrong and it's really not going wrong. Then what you're going to do, 911 is going to be dispatched all over the place. So, you know, it's like, how do you really get you know, better. I don't know. I don't know. So let's well, give me a holler. 347-285-7777 with you all ride Uber, you know, or half. And, you know, outside of having cameras installed, you know, in the car, doing more background checks, what else could we, you know, have as a better method to ensure our safety as passengers, you know? And come on, pretend like, the you know, Uber is asking you as a passenger, what can we do to help ensure your safety? What would you say? And they've already thrown out the cameras and, you know, checking out these guys. Because I'm going to tell you, even as an accessorized driver, I'm sorry, passenger, I can't tell you because I've gotten into an argument with these people. Now, never my safety in that manner, but you driving too fast, you driving too reckless, you tailgating. I'm like, yo, is there somewhere you need to be, like, right now? Because I didn't tell you I was in a rush. And I don't appreciate all this dipping and ducking and diving and from lane to lane and you tailgating. And one time this guy was going like 70. I was like, yo. I was like, no. You need to do better than this. You need to slow down. And he said to me, oh, something like I wasn't rushing or something. But, you know, he didn't say it nasty, you know, in a nasty manner, but he kind of said something to the point of, oh, like, I'm going too fast. I was like, I'm sorry. In New York, we're not allowed to do 70. So, you know, if you're from Michigan or, you know, or Texas or something like that, where they do 70, I said, but here, where what we're on, you're only allowed to do 50. So if you did 60, I would be too upset. But this 70, no. And he was very respectful. He didn't give me no hard time. He just slowed down, unlike others who I've had to battle. One guy even said to me, well, do you see how fast everybody else is going? I don't care. So all of this stuff needs to be addressed with these drivers. So, you know, I can't even imagine, again, an average of 160 assaults a month. In 2019 and 2020 alone. So, you know, they've got this big lawsuit that's going on. And like I said, you know, we got to give God thanks that as often as we have, you know, ridden, you know, in these cars, that we didn't have these issues. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. So, let's see. What else are we going to talk about today? Like I told you, this is our topic of conversation today. Let's see what we got here. Wow. Oh, yo, this is crazy. So they've got this roadway in out in Florida. Now, if any of you have done any traveling, Roadway Inn is one of those motels, and I always say, if I can drive up to the door of the hotel, no, that's all right. I need to be able to go in the lobby, go upstairs. Somebody needs to see me walking past an attendant. I need to be on somebody's camera. Yeah, I know that I can get from my car to the door of the hotel, the room of the hotel, motel. No. Well, Roadway Inn is one of those. And Ray, okay, check this out. There's a couple who rented a room in this Roadway motel back in 21. And she was 67. And they were in Miami vacationing because they were vacationing and house hunting in that area. So they decided to stay at the Roadway Inn. And at one point during the stay, Miss Trayvon Smith, who's 22, suddenly opened up their hotel room door, well, I call it the motel room, and tussled with the husband, even biting the man at one point. Now, let me give you the name. Trayvon Smith. Okay. So, you know what side of the fence. They say the that he went in, he attacked the husband, and then his attention went on to this 67-year-old woman where he was beating and strangling her before dragging her into a nearby elevator and forcing her to have, remember we talked about that penetration, yeah, well, that's what he did yesterday, apparently yesterday, in this elevator. So check this out. This is why I said check out this story. They have cameras all over this place, right? They say the surveillance footage shows her being dragged across this place, across the corridor, down the hallways, and they said that she told the cops she was choked so bad that she lost her sight, and the staffers did nothing to stop the assault despite this occurring in an open hallway. She said, he grabbed me to the elevator. He forced me to do so many things. I was screaming and screaming and screaming, and nobody helped her. And they said, citing this lack of security and unwillingness to employees to intervene, this woman sued the hotel for $16 million. Well, she sued them, and she won for $16 million. And the security firm for the property is responsible for $5 million of that dollars. Because it says she also suffered broken ribs and a brain bleed. Now, they say again that nothing was done to intervene, as this woman was beaten and sexually assaulted for 10 straight minutes in the middle of an open hallway at this place. And they were not playing. So they said that, you know, well, you know, it can't stop what happened, but with this settlement, they'll have some level of closure and financial security for the rest of their life. Because, again, she's 67. They ain't got to worry about another dime. And they were looking for a house. Oh, that's another thing they're not going to have to worry about. Now, they're saying that the hotel did not admit to any fault. And they have upgraded their security at this particular location. Well, let's be frank here. Would you have to admit to any fault? Huh? They got this on camera. They got part of this on video. And they're showing you. They're showing her on the ground. It looks like he's got her by the hair. And he's, like, standing behind her, dragging her. And really, they said 10 minutes in an open hallway and nobody did anything. How in the world that you don't even get two or three people? You know, you may not want to do this by yourself, but dang, you can't throw a bottle of bleach or liquid or a broom or mop or, you know what I'm saying? Because he didn't have a gun. He didn't even have a knife. There's no talk of a weapon or anything. It says he dragged her. It didn't say he forced her. So in other words, if it said he forced her, then maybe he had a gun or a knife and he was, you know, forcing her to, you know, go down the hallway, get on out. No, he dragged her. Everything was done by hand. Now, I don't know what happened to the husband. Was he knocked unconscious? I don't know. But all of this went on. The husband had to be somewhere incapacitated where he could not help his wife. But I can't imagine. I'm not finding a broom or something, you know, if he didn't show no, because if it was a gun, if he had a gun, he would have shown that already. And 10 minutes, he didn't show a gun in 10 minutes. He probably didn't have no gun. So, you know, would you? I just couldn't imagine. I just couldn't imagine two or three of us not, you know, maybe they figured they'd call the cops or something like that. But this has got to be some stories that, you know, these people had to tell, and they didn't admit to it before. You have to keep shutting your mouth. You have to shut your mouth the way the workers do. And now y'all just got finished putting out, what, $11 million because $5 million had to come from the security firm? And then they changed the security firm? I guess you did. Because they proved to be nothing. Because where was security? You said you changed the security firm, which means, and you charged $5 million to the security firm, so there was somebody there. So I don't know. I don't know. Well, somebody, they weren't doing their job. Workers, security, nobody. Nobody. So, well, talking about this sexual assault thing. So, everybody's heard of pretty much Scrubs and, you know, some of the other NBC shows like California. I always say this wrong. Californication. And what are the other shows that they show that this guy has something to do with? Anger Management, Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher. Well, the executive producer, the co-executive producer of these shows was arrested in L.A. on alleged sexual crimes that he's committed over the past decade. Yep. They say between 2012 and 2019, he has been on his tangent of sexual assault. And he said that they say that the women, how do I say this? They said that he would find these women between the ages of 20 and 30, in their 20s and 30s, in grocery stores, coffee shops, and other public places, and he would approach them, telling them he was a photographer, and he would invite them to his home for an alleged photo shoot. And he said they said once the unsuspecting victim arrived at the residence, he would sexually assault them. Now, excuse me, they have additional victims that could go back as early as the 1990s, and they're trying to urge these people to step up. He's being held on over $3 million bond, and they're going after him. They are going after him. And it, again, here we go. Once you open up one door, everybody and their mama gonna be sliding through this door. And now all you're hearing about are these, what do you call these people? These actors, these executive producers, these directors, and all these people who have been going buck wild with the sexual assault thing. And, you know, ladies, listen, it don't have to be you. Talk to your daughters, your nieces, your coworkers, your friends, people in your church, whoever you know. Please help them with this, you know, this photographer story, you know, this lame, you know, carrot that these men have dangled. This is so old, and I can't believe that people, you know, were even still going for this back in 2019. That was only a couple of years ago. And somebody's inviting you to their house for a photo shoot. Really, girls? Really, ladies? You only falling for this still? You know, these days and times, yes, people are working from home more, and they've got these savvy studios that they put together. But go with a friend. Go with a couple of friends. And if they tell you you can't bring nobody, then see that as a flag. You know, it's a small space, and you can't have, you know, then I'm sorry, then I just won't get this photo shoot done. But you never go up into somebody's place by yourself and just assume you don't know these people. You know, so again, you know, somebody invites you to a place, and I don't even care if it's a studio in a building, you know, a studio in a home. you know, where it looks like a legitimate studio. Who's to say that this stuff doesn't take place there either? But just don't go alone. Don't go alone. The chances are that if he's some kind of creep, you know, or some rapist or whatever, you know, sexual assault person. I don't know what you call these people. But you won't get caught out there, you know, slipping, believing that this is, you know, what they're doing. You know, we don't want to get there. We don't want to get there where we're in a, caught up in a spot where we can't, you know. Oh, creeps. Thank you. You know, we don't want to get caught out there where there's a point of no return. And the only way you're going to get out is you hoping and praying you get out of it. You know, because you didn't, you know, put yourself in a precarious situation, and now you're at the mercy of this creep who, you know, is going to sexually assault you, and, you know, hope you don't come out with some disease or pregnancy, or, you know, he don't kill you or almost kill you. You know, come on, be smart, okay? All right. Well, we were talking about Kevin Spacey, and, you know, we compared him to R. Kelly, who lost a lot of his, you know, his was the NBC or whatever, his deal with the record company, and they took his records off the streaming system. And, you know, yesterday we talked about Kevin Spacey, who lost, you know, some of his movie deals. Well, not from another film, just because of the sexual assault charge. Yep. They say he will no longer star in 1242 Gateway to the West, which is a film about Mongolian warrior Genghis Khan. Yeah, after that, the London visit, where they're charging him with the sexual assault. Yeah, they said, no sirree, Bob. So he lost that. They say those negotiations went straight down the drain, and they have already started to look for another person. Yeah, they started auditioning instantaneously. And they said this picture had a budget between $10 million to $25 million. And, you know, that means he was going to be paid a couple of dollars. You know, for an actor of his level, they easily walk into these movies for $1 and $2 million. Easily. So he won't be getting that. So, you know, we were talking about all the stuff that happens, you know, how he's able to, you know, God knows how to get you. Because we were talking about how nobody else has been allowed to go almost a whole year and not have to sit in jail while they're awaiting trial. And he's been able to get, you know, this bail that he doesn't have to be on the inside. Well, he won't be working. Nope. He won't be working. He will not be working. They say that he had another project, some thriller of Peter 5-8, and they don't know whether he's going to hold on to that either. They don't know whether he's going to be able to hold on to that acting job either. So although you might be walking free, you suffering. Because all your little stuff, you know, these people feel like they're untouchable. Yeah, well, now you don't have what you thought you had. So you might be walking around free, but if you ain't working, you gonna feel like you in jail. So whether you, and the interesting part is, we talked about R. Kelly losing, you know, some before, you know, once he was charged with those things, and we talked about what he's lost. You know, what he's going to lose after, you know, the sentencing and all of this kind of stuff, or when he was found guilty, because it took some time between that and the sentencing, and how he thought, well, he don't even want to lose it. And I think, again, this is going to be a trend that they're going to start start following, will it be an absolute equal trend? Maybe not, but this ain't going to be no joke for these people. You're going to have to eat this stuff. You're going to have to eat this big time. Let's talk to our brother Al and see what he's up to and what he thinks about this stuff. Good morning, brother Al.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, team.
How are you over there?
Hey, I'm doing good. Blessed. Woke up this morning. So I'm doing just fine. And, of course, you know, I got my little daily quote going on here, you know. And I lost it for a second. Hold on. There it is. Do not let making a living prevent you from making a life. That's by my man John Wooden.
Okay, I'll take that one. I'll take that one this morning. I'll take that quote, and brother Al. We're talking about Uber being sued, and they're saying that Uber has, let's see what's going on here. Why am I being blocked? They said 500 passengers have sued Uber in between 2019 and 2020. They have had 3,800 complaints about some sexual assault in those 2 years alone. So like I said, I don't know if you want to count it a year from 2019 to 2020 or in all of 2019 and all of 2020, you know, they have received 3,800 complaints, which comes out to an average of 160 complaints a month. And that's within a 31-day period. It's ridiculous, you know. And now they're going to have to pay the piper. Well, I got a question for you. So what would you add on to, you know, this? They're trying to talk about how they're going to up their security. So if you put cameras in the cars, okay, you can do that. That would increase the security. If you, you know, did a more thorough background search on these, you know, these people before they actually became Uber drivers, that would help. Can you think of another way that they can increase their security so that the passengers can ride more freely?
You know, I was listening to the story, and it was a shock to me because I didn't realize this was going, you know, I drive. I may have took Uber maybe two or three times. But I was just really shocked to hear what was going on because, to me, I thought it was the safest thing because I know when you put in for Uber, they send you a picture of the driver. They send you the license plate number. You got a map that you can send to somebody so they can see where you – if you come into my house, you can send me the map showing me your way to my house. So this is just a shock to me, and I'm just like, wow, I don't even know what else you can do. Besides, don't ride it. But this is a shock to me. So I'm kind of baffled right now on that.
Yeah, I was talking about, Brother Al, the difference between now and years ago when we used to flag down a yellow cab or a gypsy cab and how they were saying, like you said, with you having license plate and there's a track record of who you're driving with and all this kind of stuff. You know, that was the whole premise to this being a safer ride than out there flagging down the cabs of, you know, drivers that we had no, you know, business being with because we didn't know who these people were. But yet you ended up with the same issue. You ended up with the same problem. So how did you end up, you know, putting all these other people out of business to end up, you know, putting, you know, people's lives in the same level of danger?
Right. I believe because it's something new, you know. But first of all, I can't talk about the yellow cab because, you know, yellow cab didn't stop for a black man. You could be out there all day long. About 100 yellow cabs, I tried to catch a yellow cab one time in the city, and about 100 cabs, they just passed me by. So a black man wasn't getting a yellow cab. That was out. Now, the gypsy cab, yes, you know. And like you said, we didn't have that. You didn't have that safety. You didn't know. They didn't say, you know, picture. You know, you didn't have none of that. But I believe people jump on the bandwagon when something new come out. Whenever something new come out, people just flock to it you know, not looking at, even when these new phones come out, you know, nobody want to check it and see, okay, what may be wrong with this? Everybody on lines for hours and days to get this stuff. So when something new come out, people just jump on and not thinking of anything else.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, like you said, you know, you want to be a part of the new thing. And, you know, that's something that they had not anticipated. You know, they figured, you know, that people thought, the drivers thought, you know, well, they would have thought that the drivers, you know, them having the driver's information and the license plate and all of that stuff, you know, who would take a chance at doing this when you know you could be caught? So my thing is, do you have 500 new people in jail? I don't know. Because that's
right,
the way
right.
It just have 500 people in jail now. So,
right.
You know, this is nationwide. So who knows? Who knows? Who knows? But, you know, I can't think of anything either, Brother Al, that would, outside of cameras and doing a more thorough background check. But if these people have never been arrested for, you know, sexual assault or anything like that, they not gonna have a background record. They don't have a
record. Right, right. And you know what the problem is too, and I've seen it from me driving and Uber's pulled up next to me or in front of me. What the problem is the people too. They get in these cars and dead on their phone. On their phone. I had a friend that was in the Uber. I'm trying to get the attention. She don't even see me. She's just deep into her phone. And when I stopped at the light, I text her. I said, look in the car next to you. And she looked, she's like, oh, how you doing? I'm like, wow. You know, so they get in the car, get on these phones, and not paying attention to what's going on. And if this person is looking to sexually assault you or whatever the case may be, they looking in that rear mirror and see what you're doing. They're watching you. You know, okay, this person's deep in their phone, so I might can leer off here, or I can go down this route, you know. So you got to be more attentive as well.
You're right. You're right, because I'm sure they're monitoring who's, you know, you or how many girls have gotten in there drunk. You know, you get in the Uber, you drunk, you off your game, and, yeah, they'll take advantage of you. So you're right. You know, we have a responsibility as well to be alert and on the ball. And, you know, some of these things may have been prevented. You know, we're not going to blame
right.
the passenger, but it could have been prevented.
Right. Prevented, right.
You know, if you were, like you said, paying attention and you weren't, you know, all, not only that, you know, well, let me finish that because I hate when people do that. When you were all, you know, preoccupied. Not only that, no way you going. I was just, you know, I was talking about the fact that, you know, a lot of these people have to do the GPS because they don't have a clue. And, you know, some people don't even know where they go. Well, you can't take me somewhere down the way I'm going.
Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, I saw a story one time about that. And they got mad at this man and what he did. He wanted to teach his daughter a lesson because she's in her phone all the time. And he said, listen, it's a lot going on in this world, and you need to be attentive. And, you know, these millennials that they get, oh, I know what I'm doing. I'm okay. It ain't going to happen to me. So what he did, she wanted to go somewhere. He told her to take an Uber, and he'll call it for him. But it was his friend. So he had his friend come and put, you know, portrayed to be an Uber driver. And she got in the car, and he was like, okay, babe, be safe, all right? I'll talk with you. Immediately when she got in the car, she got on her phone. And the guy was driving, and he pulled off. Now, this is the father's friend. He pulled off on this dirt road, went around this dark area. She ain't had a clue until he stopped the car. And when he stopped the car, she was like, well, what's going on? He was like, you know what this is. I need you to start taking off your clothes. That girl started screaming and crying, and her father followed him. And he got out, and he was like, you see what I'm telling you? He said, you didn't even know this man pulled off. But everybody got at him like, oh, you shouldn't have did that, this and that. But, you know, sometimes you got to teach them a lesson. You know, I wasn't mad at him. I was like, now she knows. Pay attention when you get in somebody's car.
Right. A hard lesson learned. But it would have been harder had that been a stranger. And dad wasn't following, wasn't his friend driving that car. So, yeah, you know, sometimes you may not agree, you know, with the method we use to to send that message, but you know what? She'll learn. And she did, I'm sure, Brother Al. So, hey, do what you got to do. Do what you got to do. What else are we talking about today? We're talking about this Roadway Inn motel where this, let me get his name, so you know who we're talking about, Trayvon Smith, 22, rolls up in this hotel room, beats up on the husband, then turns his attention to the wife, drags her through the hotel onto the elevator, sexually assaults her on the elevator, drags her through the lobby and the hallways, and no one does anything. They say for 10 minutes this went on, and no worker did anything. And now she's just won a $16 million lawsuit against this Roadway Inn because they cited that the workers did nothing. So now $5 million of that has to come from the security firm that was working for the hotel. But, you know, what do you think about, you know, the fact that nobody did anything? Admittingly, they did nothing. They caught this on video, how he dragged her all over the place. And in an open hallway, they said that workers saw this and did absolutely nothing.
Well, that tells you again about fear, how fear can take over and just freeze you. You know, even if you didn't want to physically try to do something, they should have immediately called 911 and got help over there. And I can understand being fearful because you didn't know what this man may carry. I have a friend I went to high school with. He jumped in a situation where a lady was getting beat and he jumped in and a guy shot him and he lost his life. So I can understand the fear, the hesitance of, you know, but it shouldn't have, you know what, I don't know if he got something, but I'm calling police, you know, and then for them to just stand there and, you know, yeah, they deserve to get sued. How are you going to just stand there and just, okay, call, pick up the phone. I'm quite sure, yeah, I got your phones on. Everybody had their phone on them. So, yeah, they deserve to get sued for that.
Well, let me put this out here. So I don't believe for a minute that nobody called the police. I don't believe that. I believe that they did call. But listen, for 10 minutes, let's put this together here. For 10 minutes, this man dragged her through this place, and he was dragging her. They show you a little bit of this video. It took months to put it to mm-hmm. fill up. And he's behind her. It looks like he's got her by the hair. He's dragging her. So clearly he had nothing because he didn't force her. He didn't force her in that. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a knife. He didn't have a gun. All he was doing was hitting her. Y'all couldn't have got, three or four of y'all couldn't have gotten together and got a broom off.
Yes.
Or something, because Brother Al, you're talking about 10 minutes of calling the cops. That's the 10 minutes the woman was being assaulted.
Right.
We're not talking about Brother Al walking through the lobby and seeing this guy and not knowing, you know, whether he had a gun on him or something like that, and he approached. We're talking about people. So
right.
You're telling me start cleaning and you listen, you ain't got a cart you can run behind and put your stand behind the cart and put the cart up against the man. Something.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Believe,
you're right.
You know, we're traveling as a group and you this was them standing there. How could you and there's a group of you do nothing? That's like when you see these movies and the guy is on the plane. No, he got is a knife. He's hijacking the whole plane with a box cutter. And
right.
And you got 100 people riding the plane and all together on the. I ain't talking about no one person because like I said, I'm sure. Somebody called the cops. I don't doubt that for one second. But look at the time that's lost. The cops are not on the site. So that 10 minutes he spent assaulting her right there in front of your very eyes.
They could have jumped them. Anybody should got bruised. Y'all got access to the janitorial closet. You get the bleach. I'm going to get this broom. You get that dustpan. Let's get them.
that's my point. You know, so, you know, unfortunately, this is what happens. You know, we talked about the guy, you know, the co-executive producer who is now being charged with sexual assault. You know, he posed as a photographer, and he got these women up in his room, and then he sexually assaulted them. And this can go back as far as the 90s, the late 1990s. We're talking again about Kevin Spacey, who now lost another movie deal. So we're going to see more and more of this stuff popping up, you know, with these people who are being charged with this sexual assault. It seemed like they didn't let the cat out the bag. Now everybody going buck wild.
Yeah, I mean, I'm listening. Every time you turn around, there's a sexual assault story. And it's like, yo, like, what is wrong with y'all? Like, y'all have gone mad. And don't get me wrong, I don't fault the victims, but the victims have to be more attentive to what's going on. Stop being naive. And I've noticed that, because let me tell you, I had a friend that used to, you know, he didn't sexually assault the women, but, you know, he was in the field, and that was his line to women. Women will walk by and he'd be like, oh, I'm sorry to bother you, but have you ever thought about modeling? And the girl thought cheesy. No, I didn't. Well, you know, you should think about it. You got that look. Here's my card. And you know how many girls he got like that. So sometimes when the women get flattered, they don't hear or see nothing else. Oh, I'm going to get ready to do this photo shoot, you know, but you also get ready to put your life in danger. So, you know, you have to look at those things as well.
Absolutely, Brother Al, absolutely. Well, thank you for joining us. You know, we're coming back to have our main conversation, and we'll be back. Let's say good morning to our Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? Good morning, Pastor Steph. This is my God interpretation voice.
You know... Good morning, good morning, good morning, Pastor KL. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I am doing well as well. Thank you very much. We're talking about these Uber victims. They said 500 sexual assault cases, you know, that's being brought to the forefront in the year of 2019 and 2020. And, you know, they're trying to up their security. So I'm asking, you know, hey, you got cameras, and then you have the background check being checked more thoroughly. How else do you increase the security for these riders?
You know, I really don't. I have no clue. And I'm actually baffled, because the three of us that's on this line now, we know someone who does this Uber. And I've always told him that my concern was the people that get in the car. I said, you don't know these folks. But now to hear that it's the driver, to me, that is absolutely crazy. I was always concerned with going to a stranger's house and picking up a stranger, you know, what they might be able to do to me as the driver. But now to know that the driver is doing it to the customer, oh, man, this is really a twist on what I've been preaching to my brother Harris.
Well, listen, they said 3,800 complaints in the year of 2019 and 20 years, of those 2 years, and that's an average of 160 per month. And, you know, I was talking earlier, and I was also talking with Brother Al about, you know, that they were supposed to be a higher level of safety, you know, versus us, you know, flagging down a yellow cab or you know, flagging down a gypsy cab, you know, and blindly getting into these cars where nobody knew you know, now you've got this app where you've got your driver's picture, you've got the license plate, you've got the color of the car, and there's some track record, there's some trail of who you were with. And still, how bold are you, Pastor KL, that with these people having all of your credentials, you would still sexually assault somebody? How crazy are you?
You're thinking you're above the law. All that, it can't happen to me. I can't get caught.
Yep. Well, she's going to be too scared to talk. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. So it's really, you know, I'm trying to think of, you know, what could you do? You know, they say that if they have a button that you can press in their app that operates like a 911 button, if you should see, like, you know, the path, you know, being taken is different than the path that should be taken to get to your location. And I would say, well, that's a little difficult with the GPS in a sense, because if they're watching the GPS for everything they do and the GPS is sending you through a shortcut, are you really going to be able to determine at a point in your line that, you know, of course, you know, if you're only 5 blocks from my house and you're going to take this crazy turn, of course I know something is up at that point. But if we're early or in the middle of the trip and you take a turn, if I say something, the first thing you're going to yell to me is, this is the way the GPS is taking me, because I've been in the car and I've said, why are we going this way? Or why are you taking this way? Or do you realize you could go that way? And I know they're watching this GPS because you can see their head bobbing up and down, down, up, down, up, down, up. And I'm like, oh, here we go with this stupid GPS because you don't know where you're going. And, you know, if you don't know that, if they're telling you they're watching the GPS and you know they're watching the GPS, could you really press this button and sound an alarm that they're taking you somewhere you don't know they're taking you?
Right, right.
I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know. You know, I said, well, you know, put it out there. Maybe, you know, let's pretend like Uber is asking us for some suggestions. But to be honest, I can't think of anything. I haven't gotten a hit from Shanti that says that there's a comment from the listener. You two haven't been able to, you know, to even come up with any ideas. I don't know what else we could do to ensure, you know, the passengers' safety at this point more than you know, what can we do? You know, the question is, what can we do to increase the safety of a rider when you're adding cameras to the cars, as well as putting a 911 feature in the app so the person can actually press the button if they sense something is wrong, or checking their background a little more, which they're admitting that they haven't checked the background the way, you know, the way they should have. So, well, there is a comment. So you think, Pastor KL, why this comment is going on? Let's see what we hear, what we got to hear right now. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well. So is there a way we can increase the safety of the riders for these Uber trips?
Yes. Two things came to mind for me. You mentioned about the Uber drivers having their GPS on. I was going to say really quick, I ain't going to talk on their defense. So with them having their GPS on, it actually, I know it's very annoying from what you're saying, Pastor Steph, because I've been in the car with you. You get so annoyed when you see them putting that, you know, the GPS on. But I see it as a bonus feature for the passenger because, like you said, you know, and I've gotten in a car before where I knew where I was going. They had the GPS on, and yet they're going in a different direction, and I'm like, you just made the wrong turn. And like, oh, we're saying, okay, check this out. Forget that. I'm going to tell you how to get there. So with them having the GPS on, it will help the passenger to be a lot more alert and also to show if they have some type of ulterior motive and they put in an address that isn't your address, or let's just say they do put in your address, but they're still trying to veer you off, and especially when you know where you're going, you can help to keep track of that. Another thing is I've been in a car and still I knew where I was going, but I still had my GPS on, but I just turned the volume down so they didn't know I had my GPS on, and I matched the time. So, like, you mentioned Waze, the app. So it'll tell you the time you'll get to your destination. I match that time that says on my phone to what it says on their phone. The distance, the mileage, I match what it says on my phone to their phone to make sure that's the address that they put in. Also, another safety feature I thought about as the passenger is share your location with people, not with a person. I share my location with everyone in the church. And vice versa. We all share our locations with everyone. So one person happened to be asleep or at work or busy or whatever the case may be, everybody know where I am. And there have been times where I've gotten in the group chat like, y'all see me, right? And they're like, yeah, you're on such and such highway or such and such parkway. Yes, exactly. Okay, make sure you follow me because, you know, for whatever reason. But I would say just make sure you have your GPS on also, to match what their GPS is saying. And in addition to, as you mentioned, they said, within the app, you can share your ride with someone else, but also just have your location on. Like, forget all this fake privacy, and I don't want people to know where I'm going. You ain't got to worry about them knowing where you're going when you pop up with your body on the side of the highway. Share your location with people, because, again, you try to share with one person. If that person happened to be busy or asleep or whatever, then it's like you're not sharing it with anyone. But I think if you add those two habits to when you get into these cars, it'll help also. And like Brother Al said, if I have my GPS on also, making sure it matches their GPS, I don't have time to be on my phone. And I know when I get in a car, I may be on my phone as far as, like, I may have one AirPod in, the other one isn't in. But I'm paying attention. I ain't no texting, ain't no nothing, because I need to make sure you sitting at this stop sign a little too long. Why? Because you have to be on alert. So I think if you add those two extra habits, it'll help to keep you safe.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. Thank you so much. Thank you. All right. I like that. So, you know, in addition to what Uber can do or Lyft can do or Accessoride can do, you know, or whatever, you know, car service can do. Now you as a passenger, you know, can add your own safety features. So thank you so much. Again, 347-285-7777. If you have another idea, we will definitely give it out to the listeners. So Pastor KL, did anything else come to your mind as you were listening?
No, I actually liked that idea from Shantice. I mean, I think that's an excellent idea. You know, I still drew a blank, but as she was speaking, I could actually see it rolling in my head, the idea rolling in my head. I think that's an excellent idea. Excellent idea. And like you said, have some type of safety act in the app, that when it looks like it's going the wrong way or foul play may be coming up, that they can press something or there's a safety hold in there, and you know, somebody can come to their rescue.
Yes, that is something that they say that they have put into place to add. So with all of these things, you know, hopefully it will add, you know, a more comfort ride for the passenger. And like you said, you know, there has to be some features in there for the driver. You know, we can't assume that there's nothing, you know, no dangers on the horizon for the driver either, Pastor Kale. You know, they have their, I'm sure, you know, they're giving the safety report on this side, but I would love to see the safety report on the opposite side, because I'm sure these crazy riders, you know, they're out there as well. So, you know, we got to keep everybody lifted in prayer, because it is really a dangerous thing. It's really a dangerous thing out there. Thank you again, Shantice. And again, I really, really, really encourage you to send us, you know, something that, you know, helps to keep the riders or the driver safer. Okay. All right. We got this incident, this sexual assault that's taking place in the Roadway Inn out in Miami, Florida, Pastor KL, where this guy breaks into the room. What kind of door they got that he breaks up into the room of this couple? He assaults the husband, then he assaults the wife, and now he takes this wife through the building. He sexually assaults her in the elevator, and then he drags her through the building. He drags her through the hotel with people watching. And it happens all on video, and no one does anything. And for 10 minutes in an open hallway, he attacks her, and no one does anything. She now gets $16 million, with the security firm being responsible for $5 million of those dollars because they dropped the ball big time. And now, you know, they have to pay the piper for their negligence. But my thought was, okay, so you will not walk up on somebody, you know, who you don't know if he has a gun or a knife or whatever. But all this time, you know, if you watch for 1 minute, there's no gun. You know, I know things are moving quickly, but as a group, you know, y'all can't go get some brooms and dustpans and all kinds of things and just assault him. And, you know, nobody does anything. And that's a scary, scary thought that they didn't have you, and this man didn't have you in a room on the elevator alone. This is in an open hallway. What comes to your mind, Pastor KL?
Well, first of all, I think what comes to my mind is the mental capacity this man had been in. First of all, to kick down a door, beat up the boyfriend or the husband, and then grabs the wife.
Yeah.
I mean, that within itself, it speaks to your mental illness, you know. And then you grab her, don't care who's in the hallway. You take her in the elevator. You do what you do in the elevator. Now you don't press another floor and get up, get out, and leave her there. You then parade her through the lobby.
Yep.
You know, as if this was a trophy, you know, and do what you want to do. And it's almost like daring somebody to come and stop me. Hey, look what I did. And then you go on to assaulting her even more in the lobby. And we're all looking. Now, one of the things I was laughing at is that you said, you know, somebody could have had a cart or something. I said, well, that's like MacGyver. You know what I'm saying? MacGyver creates all type of stuff to kind of, you know. But you're right. There's brooms, there's carts, there's towels that you could have draped across his face or his head or whatever. Any kind of deterrent to help him let the woman go. And all of you are sitting there as if it was a parade and as if we paid a ticket for this. Now, I know this is a kind of far-fetched, but I think some of the folks should have been arrested for letting it happen. Because how I know you wasn't down with it? Listen, you ever been to a hotel? There is more than one person cleaning them rooms.
Yeah.
So if all of y'all just standing there, listen, the breakfast people are back there who gives out the breakfast. The person at the desk is usually about two of them, you know, and then you got the housekeepers. So, and wait, where's the maintenance and the janitor people? So you got a lot of folks in there, and we all just sitting there parlaying, watching the 9 o'clock news. Now somebody else should have went to jail.
And I'm not against that, to be honest with you, because especially when you can say that the staffers were onlookers and did nothing, somebody should be held accountable. You know, it's too much. It's too much to be able to say that y'all watched this go down and nobody did anything. And that's why I said a card or something. Because, like I said, you know, you think about, you know, the fact that he could have had a gun or knife. But come on, this was going on for way too long that if he had a gun or a knife, it would have been already revealed. This ain't no knife or gun situation here. You actually see him beating on her. And let me tell you something. He would be so caught up in what he's doing that before you knew it, half of y'all could have been on one side, the other could have been on the other side. Before you knew it, he was already being attacked, taken down. And, yeah, somebody's got to answer. Well, $16 million. Let me tell you something, Pastor Kale. When they had to give $16 million up, a whole lot of people's heads were flying and they got fired. So, you know, I guess maybe that's something that they went after for that, you know, and on that level. But, yeah, did some heads rolled for that $11 million. I tell you one thing, they probably hired a brand new staff. Ain't nobody had no job after that. Because when you can take staff first, they didn't say people, customers. They said staffers. Yeah. Somebody paid the price for that.
Right.
Somebody paid the price for that one. And it's ridiculous and it's scary. Closing out on this before we get to Omni, because we still got a little bit of time. You know, we've got Lil' Kevin Spacey. One less movie he's going to be in. They said after that, London thing, another movie went down the drain. There's still one that he's up for that they're wondering if he's got to lose as well. The co-executive producer has been snagged. He can go all the way back to 1990 for his stuff. He was the one who posed as a photographer and told these young ladies, 20s in their 30s, that, oh, he's a photographer when he got them up to the room. You know, what are we doing here? Are we this gullible still? How in 2019 you falling for the okey-doke? How?
Well, listen, and I'm totally in agreement with you, Pastor Steph, now that I'm on this side. But in my former life, you know, because I could sing, you know, you guys know that I would walk down the streets singing. And females were gullible. I would tell them I was a producer. I was Prince. I was whoever you wanted me to tell you I was. You know, and that was my in to getting your phone number. That was my in to getting to know you. No, let me just stop lying. That was my in to sleep with you. I mean, that was just my in. I mean, people have been gullible for different reasons. You know, you find out what it is or what it was that they were really into, and you turned yourself into that person, and they never saw farther than that because they wanted to they wanted to believe in you so much that they ran with it. Their dream came true. So, no, I didn't rape nobody in my former life, but I do understand how that happens. I do. And females do the same thing. You know, females say stuff, and, you know, you're not the most handsome guy in the world, and she's a beautiful woman, and, you know, she's saying all the nice things, and you're in awe, and you're surprised that she's giving you the time of day, and now she needs a few dollars because now she has a gullible story, and you give up your whole bank account. So it happens on both sides.
And I'm sure it does. I don't doubt it. I don't, you know, hesitate to believe you. You know, I'm just, and my thing is in 2019, you've heard these stories before. And somebody's telling you they're a photographer. Carry a friend or two with you. If he tells you that, you know, hey, or, you know, the place is so small, it's only enough space for me and you, you know what, then that's all right. When you get a bit of space, you let me know, because we are coming to visit you for this photo shoot. You got to really have your guard up. You cannot be so gullible that you believe it can't be me. We just have come way
but while you are 100% right, you know, I heard you say, well, in 2019, well, yeah, but you know what? 2019 is another set of young folks who's never gone through that. When we were doing it in the 80s or whatever, it was still a set of young folks. You know, so it could go to 2030. It's going to be a set of young folks who are gullible, you know, who has not been through that before. Every year, it's going to be another set of people, of young folks who have never gone through that, who are still dreamers, who still want to believe in people because they've never been hurt by people.
Oh, I guess you're right, Pastor Kale. I guess you're right. There's always going to be some new fool out here that these people are going to be able to prey on, and unfortunately, that's the way of the world. So, you know, they said in their 20s and 30s, you know, and as a woman who has someone in their 20s who thinks she knows everything, you can't tell her nothing, you know, and you can't, when you warn her, she twisting up her lips and rolling her eyes. Yeah, I'm sure they do, you know, get set up for many things. And unfortunately, they'll have to learn the hard way that these are not real people and you in for a real world. So you point well taken. Point well taken, Pastor Dale. Well, gentlemen, really, we got a nice amount of time left. You know, we talked with the ladies about submission the other day. And, you know, I want to talk about it with the men. Let's see what you have to say about submission, you know, in a relationship, in a marriage. And, you know, this authority thing, you know, we talked the other day about what submission is not. So I kind of want to go in between the two. And one of the things we're talking about here is that they say submission instructs you to, you know, be underneath the authoritative leadership of your husband. And does that mean that you have to tolerate, you know, some of these things that, you know, these people put you through, this husband put you through? And, you know, one of the things that they're talking about is, you know, am I an equal value in the sight of God, even though my husband is the head of the family? You know, do you lose your identity, Brother Al, as a woman? Should you lose your identity as a woman because you're submissive to your husband?
No, not at all. I don't think you should lose your, you know, your identity because of that. You know, we know that the man's supposed to be the head of the household, but I think some people take it in a whole different way. Okay, head of the household, that means he's running everything. You got no say. So, you know, that's slavery. But, nice. You didn't lose identity because of that. Not at all.
Okay. Pastor KL, what are we talking about here? You know, should you lose your identity as a woman because you're being submissive to your husband?
No, not at all. Not at all. In fact, your identity enhances and completes my identity because two become one. Two, you know, in order for two to become one, they have to have two people. You know, so you have to have an identity. The reason why we're together and we're such a good fit, because God put us together to understand that our identities would match up and would work well together. It wasn't just about me and then you just came aboard and you do what I say because I'm the man, hear me roar. Because just as well as you can learn from me, I can learn from you. So we have to be submissive unto each other.
Okay. What about this issue of, you know, putting your needs before my needs as a woman, Brother Al? You know, does that mean that my needs go on the wayside or by the wayside because I'm being submissive to you as a wife?
No, I don't think so. You know, I think it should go by you know, the importance of it. You know, this may be something that need to be taken care of immediately, you know, and it's like, okay, I know you got a need too, but you know what, if I don't do this right now, it's going to be a situation. So let's take care of that, and then we'll get back to what you're doing. So, no, I don't think so on that.
Okay, Bob, you know, the need.
Well, if we're talking about you hungry, but you want the bigger piece of chicken, then, you know, you got to hold on to your needs because I'm going to need the bigger piece of chicken right now. But other than that, you know, I don't think that whatever your needs is should be on the back burner because, you know, when you're not happy or when you're not satisfied, the whole house is disrupted. So my job, even as the man of the house, is to make sure that your needs are met, because when they're not, again, when you're not happy, the house is not happy, you know. And if there's children involved in the household, then it's a domino effect. Everybody's affected, you know. So we have to make sure that everybody's needs is met in order for there to be a cohesive term in the house.
So we're talking about the needs of the wife being met, and that and everybody's not happy. If she's not happy, is that what you're saying?
Right. I mean, because if she keeps on putting her needs behind, you know, after a while, it's going to blow up, or she's going to feel less than, you know, or not as important. And she's, no one's going to be happy. When you feel less than, you're not happy. That brings upon a whole lot of other things, depression, oppression. It brings about a lot of other dynamics. So, yeah, it's important that we understand the needs of every individual.
Absolutely. All right, gentlemen, we're talking about counsel. One of the things that we talked about on Wednesday, you know, the submission to the husband, does that mean that you don't have good counsel for your husband because I'm being submissive to him, Brother Al?
No, I don't think that mean that at all. It's like you said, you know, people get crazy when they hear the word submission. You know, they just take and run with it and put it in a whole different perspective. But no, it's taking care of each other, basically. You know, taking care of each other. So, no, I would say no.
All right. Pastor KL, what about that counsel that comes from your wife? You know, if she's submitting to you, what happens to counsel from her?
Well, as I said earlier, you know, we learn from each other. You know, being a pastor or being a man of God, you know, sometimes we're so caught up that your wife can see other things that you can't see at that moment. So she can say, "Hey, I don't think this is going to be a good idea." You know what I mean? I don't think this is good. Not only that, but your wife, a lot of times, is praying for you. And she will hear from God. So she will come to you and say, "Hey, you know, I don't think we should go this way. I don't think you should do this way." That's counseling. That's wise counseling. We can't be so caught up in being the man that we think all of our ideas are right. You know, in a lot of households, the man is not into church. And the wife is the one who got God on her side. So yeah, I think she's more spiritual than the man. Which makes her more wiser in a lot of points, which gives her the ability to be a greater counselor.
All right, man. We're talking about some stuff here. All right. Personal goals. You know, a lot of times, and I've heard this quite often, you know, especially when we did our survival series on Across the Walk. And one of the things was, you know, she could not pursue her personal goals because the submission thing took priority, and it eliminated her from even pursuing, you know, something that God may have called her to do. What's your word on that, Brother Al?
Well, the young lady who did that, then she's seeing things in a wrong light. So like you said, how you know God didn't call you to do something, and you got in your mind that I'm supposed to be submissive and whatever he's doing comes first and this and that. And again, you taking away from y'all being a whole. Now it's a half because you're not doing what you're supposed to do or what God called you to do. You know, it could be a better job. You could be studying to get this degree so you could move up higher in your job. No, I need you to make that extra money. We got bills to pay. So what you doing? We're going to work on that together.
Well, okay. Pastor KL, I'm going to go on the side of the premise in which, you know, we're talking about, you know, this submission thing. You know, a lot of men are throwing this stuff out here. And again, you know, like I said, during the Survivor Series, this came up quite a bit. And as Brother Al said, you know, the woman, you know, she doesn't see, you know, her personal goals as being important because she's being submissive. Well, I'm going to talk to you from the other side, where the man is, you know, kind of squelching what, you know, she has, the call she may have in her life, because she needs to be submissive to him and therefore pursue what and support what he needs to do. Do the two go hand in hand to the point where she gets kind of pushed to the side and never gets to pursue her own personal goals, you know, because I got to be submissive.
Yeah, I think, first of all, you know, you need to know your purpose and know your worth. You know, God is not going to put you in a place, you know, where you have to be stagnated. You know, he's not going to put you with a person, you know, saying who's going to smother you and smuggle you, you know. And you know, as you said, to your point, if God has called you to something and you won't do it because of man, you're automatically off-kilter. You're out of balance. You're out of the will of God. So therefore, the things that you go through, the things that your household is going through, is because you won't allow your steps to be ordered, you know. And you got to understand that you have to follow God. You understand what I'm saying? And pray that the husband understands what you're doing. But God has to be first in the line of the house, you know. And like I always say, if your husband is not following God, then he has relinquished the power of being the head of the house.
Okay. And now that's being said, I want to touch on the husband being submissive to the wife. You know, how does that work, Brother Al?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. The husband being submissive to the wife. Well, again, from what we see, the man is supposed to be the head of the household. And I believe in submissive to each other. I don't just believe in one just being submissive and the other one is not. You know, again, letting God lead your household. And once God is leading your household, everything will fall in place if you're following God. So just the woman just being, I mean, just the man just being submissive to the woman and that's just it. That's not going to work out. I don't believe that's going to work out.
Okay. Pastor KL, you know, the submissive thing or the submission is a dual, you know, is a dual design. It's not just one side or the other.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, you know, most men haven't graduated to that part yet because they have their own concept of what submission is and who should be submitted to. So they have not grasped that. And that's why a lot of households are not flourishing as well as they can. Because again, you know, we have to be submitted to our wives. You know, a lot of y'all know, you know, I just came out of this COVID battle. And my wife is all medical for 40 years. Oh yeah, you better believe I was submitted. Because I knew that she had good counseling for me. You know, you gotta know everybody's pros and cons and use them to their strength. You know, if finance is not your strength, then submit to your wife. Give her the money to pay the bills. Otherwise the lights are going out. But we wanna say, you know, this is my money, or this is mine and this is what I do, and then your whole house is in chaos because you won't give it to the person who knows how to run that avenue. That's submitting.
Okay. I think you kind of gave the wrap-up, Pastor KL, but I'm going to allow it to be an official wrap-up now, you know, because I want you as men, you know, the lady, like I said, the lady did a fantastic job the other day, but I want you as men to help, you know, and let me go back a little bit. We're being heard in 48 countries, in countries where it's the thing to be the man. It's the thing to be the head. It's the thing to run things because you're the man, to the point where there are men who run the homes where the sons have more say in the home than the wives do because they are the male figures in the home. So what you say here matters because we don't know what message we're sending out to, you know, to our listeners. And I need you to kind of wrap this up in the submission and a submissive issue regarding, it doesn't mean abuse. You know, being submissive, you know, ladies, does not mean that you have to be under some abusive authority, you know, and God has a plan. Brother Al, let's close this out. What do you say?
Okay. So I would say, understand what submissive means. Like Pastor Kale said a little earlier, everybody will put their own meaning to it and just run with it. And submissive don't mean that you're a punk. What it means is that submit, and Pastor Kale said this a little earlier, submit to what that person does better. If you're married to somebody, you should know their strength and their weakness as well. They should know your strength and your weakness. So submit to what they do well. You know what? I'm not too sure about that, but I'm going to sit on back and I'm going to let you take care of this and I'm going to help you. Or you know what? I'm better at this than you. So you know what? Help me out with this. You know, she submit and let you lead, but she's also there. Not that you're leading and she's in the, you know, not there at all, but she's helping you because she knows that that's your strength. You know, we spoke about the situation the other day about the young lady who went and got her boyfriend to assault the deli guy that works in the deli. Okay, again, you know his strength. You know he got anger issues. So you went in there and you basically submitted to that anger to have that man come do that. You know, instead of calming him down, you know, babe, this is what happened, but you know what? It's okay. We're going to take care of it this way. You know, so again, people have to understand what that word submission means. All right, and come to a conclusion with it together, not by yourself. Come together. What does this mean for us? Because everybody going to have a different meaning. Figure it out, and then it's okay, let's do it. You got strength on this, so we're going to work with it, and I'm going to help you. You got strength on this, I'm going to work with you and help you. Have a better life.
All right, Brother Al, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Pastor KL?
Oh, yeah.
You know, what's your word to our listeners today? You know, it doesn't mean abuse. However, it, you know, there's a plan that God has when he gave this issue, you know, or this word on submission.
Listen, I mean, it's in simple form. When God created the woman from the rib, he created the woman to be a help mate, a help. So if I'm under your thumb as the woman, how can I help you? You know, counseling is help. You know, giving my thoughts and giving my ideas is help. Growing with my personal stuff as far as careers or as far as spirituality, that's help. You know, my job was to come to help you. God did not want you to be alone. Therefore, you have to be able to even submit to the help or be able to listen to the help because that's who I am. I am your helpmate. I've come to see your flaws and still love you. I've come to see when you fall or before you fall, I'm here to say, hey, you shouldn't go that way. I see where it can take you because sometimes we're so family or head-minded that we can't see the mistakes that's going to come along with that. But the help is looking from the outside, looking on the inside, watching where you're going and watching strategically how if you put your foot on the wrong thing, you can fall down. It can be a detriment to the whole family. So I say to the men, allow them to help you. They are your equal. God made it so because he brought her out of you. Therefore, you are you.
I'm going to leave that alone. Y'all catch on to that later.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, gentlemen. And a fine job. Well done. Thank you so much for your contribution to this conversation. And we pray you have a blessed weekend.
You too.
Thank you.
You too.
All righty. Let's go before the Lord, holding hands and holding hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, and we lift all of our needs before you, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for waking us up today and just giving us an opportunity to salute you and say thank you for all that you've done, all that you've done, all that you do and all that you will do, God. We're thanking you, God, because we were the Uber riders, all the drivers who you kept safe, God, and in all of the melee that took place, God, you covered us. And we ask you, God, to just be with all the victims right now, God, that you will heal, give them comfort, rest, and peace, dear Heavenly Father, and that you would just, going forward, help everybody, God, with all of the things that we need to pay attention to, the things that we need to clear up, the things that we need to make right, God. Lord, we're lifting up this Trayvon young man, God, and the couple who just received this $16 million, to Heavenly Father. You know, that is not going to clear up what was done, God, but some form of restitution so that they can go forward and be compensated for what has happened, God. And we ask you that you give them healing and a peace of mind moving forward, God, and that all of the standerby, all the people that watch, God, would understand what exactly it is that we need to do as a people, how we need to help one another, God. And we cannot ignore the things that are right before our eyes. And we pray, God, that you help them to move forward with a different level of courage and confidence, to Heavenly Father. And Lord, we're asking you to be with all of the people who have power, who are misleading people and misusing that power, God, for this sexual issue that we seem to have grown crazy. And now that's all we're thinking about is sex. The flesh has taken completely over, God. And we're asking you, God, to help them to put things in its proper perspective, God, that the loss now would help them understand that, yeah, you may get away for a little while, but you will be the biggest loser at the end of the day, God. And we ask you to help all the victims, God, regardless of who their assaulter was, God. Whoever assaulted them, God, we pray that you give them some level of remorse and understanding as to what they did wrong, and they understand that they have got to make things right. And for those who were victims at their hands, God, we ask you to just, again, the healing we're asking you for, that you just give them a level of peace that they can move forward and learn to trust you and to give their life to you so you can take over and you can be their new beginning, God. We ask you, God, to be with everyone who hear our voice, who have heard what we said yesterday, who hear what we say today, who will hear what we say tomorrow, that now all of this will be reconciled under your banner. And we all understand that we have got to live by your rules and regulations. If we want peace, if we want comfort, if we want rest, that we've got to give it to you so that you can make it right. And we're thanking you, God, for the ability to speak into lives, God, to help and to point people in the right direction. For all of those who don't understand the submission thing, how you designed it, and what you were trying to structure, that we don't lean to our own understanding. And we thank you for your level of clarity, dominion, knowledge, and we can continue to serve you properly, leading others to you, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. You know, we have a responsibility, and I think a lot of times we don't realize the responsibility that we do have, that, you know, we have got to pay attention to the word of God, that he didn't put us in this position for no reason, or just, you know, he just dropped us here. You know, we have a responsibility to point people in the right direction, to help people understand, to grow in the grace and knowledge of what God has invested in us so that we can help to point God's people in the right direction. And, you know, when a husband is given that position as a husband, you know, it's not up to us to misuse or abuse the authority. And we have a responsibility as the husband to lead that family. You know, we talked about it the other day from the very beginning. Things have been going wrong. You know, Adam didn't take his rightful place. Eve didn't take her position, you know, more seriously. Everybody doing what they want to do. And when you miss God's purpose in your life, in the situation, when you miss God's goal, when you miss the big picture, what a mess we make of things. What a mess we make of things. And here's the thing that I don't think we understand. Sometimes once things are off track, it almost takes forever to get things back on the right track. Now, that's nothing, you know, that's not God. That's us. Because sometimes, you know, I keep saying to people, slow obedience is disobedience. And when you think you're going to take your time to do what God has said to do in on your own pace, your own way, meaning to your own understanding, we're digging a ditch that, man, so many people fall into. Our children, our spouse, friends, family members, coworkers. And that's what I mean when I say forever. Maybe not in your hands, but when you look at all the people that have been affected by your decision making, and whenever, you know, it's almost like when we talk about, you know, Shanti and I talk about Whitney Houston's brother introducing her to drugs. You know, he didn't anticipate that she would go down a course that took her to her death. That what God gave her as a gift went straight down the toilet. But he himself, he got himself together. He stopped using drugs. But had not anticipated that not only would she use drugs, but now the same thing that she went down, the same road that she went down, look at the daughter. So now you have both those lives. And any other life that we're not even looking at, that we don't even see, you know, what other lives were affected? So that's what I mean when I say forever. You know, that was Whitney Houston's forever. Wasn't his forever. But he's going to have to ride that train forever. He's going to have to make it right with God. He's going to have to come to some level of peace as to what he did. So is that going to be your forever? I don't know. I don't know. Only you and God know that. So my thing is today, go to God on every decision, whether it's submission, whether it's, you know, whether I should go and find this photographer that gave me his number, you know, whatever it is, go to God for it. Because the one thing we can always know is that God will never, ever, ever mislead us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Whatever we need, God has. Don't miss that opportunity to receive everything that God has for you. Okay? You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my due time to my men for always sending us into a thought-provoking, wonderful weekend. And I want to thank you for hanging out with us and helping us do what we do. Please do not miss this opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, or take this opportunity to make it right with God. Get deeper into that relationship with Him. Know that what you're doing is what He wants you to do. Until Sunday, God spares our life where it's the Word Prayer Project, and we come together holding hands and holding hearts for whatever the topic is that God wants us to pray about. Until then, God spare our life. I love you.